I want to finish off really, you know, I could carry on with lots of other stuff, but I want to finish off with bringing together some prophetic words that I think are significant for this time. Some things that, you know, I've received, some things that have been sent to me, which I think really sum up what God's saying. And then seeing really before I came, you know, asking God, well, what do you want to do, you know, in New Zealand? What do you want to do in these groups? And just share some of the things that God said. So I'll just read this out. So hopefully it won't take sort of so long. So I won't comment on it. I just want to read it out. Father has begun this new move with a loud shout. There's going to be a major shift in the body of Christ as the remnant rises. The remnant is rising, being birthed in the throes of labor. When she arises, she will be set apart from the church and Christology and will set up the mountain as a glorious fire to burn and consume creation. She will be hated and despised by the church people and denominations, as well as several non-denominations, but some will even be killed for their faith. But when they are birthed in their fullness, the hermits will return to the mountain from the deserts and the wildernesses. There will be a mass resurrection of the dead into the mountain, and the serpent princes will crawl back into the earth. Some will die in their thrones, and some will publicly be brought low and laid before their victims. Spirit-filled Christians are not necessarily part of this remnant. I see their exclusion being a personal choice. God is going to call to restore the DNA of those who answer his call back to Adam before sin. The things that damage DNA are sin, pollution, food, medicines, as well as certain substances scientists are bringing into this realm. Some things are even reprogramming it. I see light shining into the darkness of a double helix and some receiving a third DNA cord of the brilliant living light. And I've seen all this stuff as well. The justice of God begins as the ecclesia rises. God will reveal truth about many things that we think we know, but he's saying, I will lead you into all, and I see it all capitalized as a tall building, truth. And you shall be made free of lies that hold you to the earth and the old creature system. I'm also seeing some mature sons of God are cleaning out several tall mountains in preparation for the remnant to occupy. I hear holiness is no longer optional. Heaven is not off limits. Super user access to my server is coming. Now, goes in to explain that now, because I thought, oh, what does that mean? Explained that my server, and the server in a technical term is a group, is a computer system which holds information that other computers can access, basically. He explained that my server has threefold meaning, as does superuser. He went on, while there are computer terms, they mean three different things. A superuser has complete access to a system, and a server contains everything in that system and gives access to the users based on their level of authorization. So, next thing, a super user must be a servant of God first. The users of God's power have limited measure and access. The super user will have unlimited access, yet shall be under the authority of the Father, which is just like Jesus, only did what he saw the Father doing. Three, super users can change anything in the system that they see fit. The great server is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. My remnant shall be my super users with full access to my server. So I think that's some of what God is saying. It's different language, different ways of saying it, but the same message is coming out there. God is doing something new, and he's calling his people to come and participate in it way beyond anything we've imagined or think up till now. And then there's another thing. And he says, he finally said, count the cost. Weigh your heart in this matter. Some in my remnant will not die as mere men do. Great, I'm going for that one. That in itself is a great cost, but they have full access to heaven. Our Father does not favor one man over another, respecter of persons, but gives all the same opportunity to have the same access. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, not your own self-righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And I think, you know, that's where we are. And then there was another word which came, says this, on the morning of February the 9th, I spent time in worship. I heard the Lord say, I am now releasing a company of prophets. Now, when you hear that, don't think prophets as you know prophets. Think those that carry the oracles of God out of heaven, who are carrying the eternal word of God from a heavenly source, not just prophetic people or prophets as we've known them on earth. This is a completely different thing. I'm releasing a company of prophets who have been through the fire and carry the arrows of fire in their hands to bring a great realignment in the church. I saw the Lord positioning these prophets who have been through the fire, these ones who have allowed the Lord to do a deep work in their hearts and souls and who really carry his heart. These ones have been through an incredible testing in this season and an incredible time of purification and are pruning. And now the Lord is releasing them into positions of places of favor. I saw the Lord hand them arrows of fire. And as I looked at their mouths, I could see their mouths like normal. But at the same time, I could see a more than ever personally and corporately, a time more than ever personally. So something different, I think. The arrows of fire in their hands were given, were words that the Lord has given them. These words were words of purity. They were words burning with his love, also sharp. They were carrying revelation of the word of God that was going to sever and shift. It was going to separate. For the word of God is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. The Lord is raising these prophets up who are so devoted to his heart. They live in a place of such deep revelation of his love. They live in a place of such yieldedness to Jesus and have now received a greater igniting by the Holy Spirit of truth. They are moving out in this season with an uncompromised word from the Lord. They are moving out with the word that the Lord not only ignites, but purifies and purges, of taking more ground than ever before, personally and corporately. The Lord is about to expose the lies in the body of Christ. The Lord is about to expose false truths. The Lord is about to expose the areas of mixture, the areas of contamination, where the pure flow has been tainted. The word of the Lord is going to come through these prophets with encouragement, love, and a strong conviction of alignment. The burning revelation of his love upon these words is igniting repentance on a deeper level. Now, repentance means total change and shift of thinking. As the Lord is raising up these prophets in this season, they are releasing what the Lord is saying. And these arrows were sent speedily to bring greater alignment into the body of Christ, to Jesus. I saw the eyes of the Lord looking in the huge body of Christ right now, and I saw a huge target. And written across the target were the words mixture and compromise. The Lord is targeting these issues right now. As these prophets release the words that they have received from his heart, and this is the key, from his heart. And actually, to get it from his heart, you have to go into his heart. You have to be heart to heart, this cardiogenosis, heart to heart relationship. It's not just, oh, well, I've got a word. It's like you carry the word from his heart. There is going to be a mighty wave of this metanoia, this total change and shift of thinking that's going to be seen moving through the church. His people will be awakened to lies that they have believed, deep areas of unbelief and hunger and passion ignited for Jesus like never before. There was such a deep sense of the Lord preparing his bride, such a deep sense of the Lord working deeply upon his bride. It was given to her that to clothe herself in what fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 19:8. These prophets are coming, empowered, full of his love and his word, and they speak, a plumb line is being released to the church. God is using their words as a plumb line to see if there are any areas out of alignment in individual lives and in the body of Christ. It is a beautiful thing, as the Lord is correcting those misalignments and bringing them back into alignment. No punishment here. The message of returning to Jesus and the first love and the returning to the word of God will be sounded loud and clear this year. This is a year of great returning, a year of great breakthrough, a year of great harvest. We are going to take ground like never before this year. But as the momentum increases, the Lord is rooting out mixture and compromise and lies. He is setting his people on fire with his love like never before. He is igniting a passion within the hearts of his people for him. First and foremost, a passion to hear his voice, a new depth of intimacy, a clarity in hearing his heart, a greater hunger for truth, his truth. Amen. We are moving into greater demonstrations of victory, increased breakthrough, double portions like we've never seen. The momentum and acceleration is increasing, and he wants his people ready. These prophets are coming with the words that will be like a plumb line, igniting deeper repentance in the church, a deeper returning to Jesus as the first love. It's a great pruning. Why? For greater fruitfulness, for greater life, for greater maturity. We're not going backwards, we're going forwards. We are at a crucial moment of taking more ground than ever before, personally and corporately. And I think those sort of two prophetic words, and they came from two different sources, basically sort of sum up so something that God is doing. He's releasing this calling to his people to come back into agreement, back into alignment, back into relationship, back into love. You know, that's what it felt like when God started to do this stuff in me. It felt like I was exploded. Everything I thought I knew was just exploded into a total new revelation of truth. And so be prepared to let go of the old.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's like, well, I've believed that all my life. Well, don't believe it if it's now being revealed as not the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, truth is being revealed. Truth is a person. It's not a theology. It's not a doctrine. Truth is Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Any other life is nothing compared to that life. And he offers us that life. But it may be quite difficult. And sometimes it can be a bit like your head's going off. Yeah. But it's okay. So this is what God said to me. Son, feel my heart for the people who are my sons but don't know it. Many have been invited to participate in the Joshua generation, but there is a lack of urgency and a reticence to really believe that they're truly my sons. Son, call forth their sonship. Release a sound that will focus my people to their destiny. So many have crossed over into the new land, but are still waiting at Gilgal, not believing they're ready. Okay. This time of preparation is over. The time to rise up is now. This is the Kairos moment to accept the responsibility of this sonship and fulfill my mandate to be the pioneers who will occupy the governmental positions within my kingdom. I am not calling you to be explorers, but pioneers who will establish in your Jerusalem and Judea first. I'm releasing the heavenly mandates and blueprints for embassies of heaven in New Zealand. This is my priority. Beachheads of heaven must be established in New Order Ecclesia. Non-conformity is not enough. Full restoration is my desire. Don't come out of the old and not embrace the challenges of the new. Don't be forerunners who only stay in Jerusalem and go no further. There are many more religious strongholds to knock down and their cities to possess. Son, inspire sonship by presenting a true demonstration of a son who has recovered his restored birthright, not just his inheritance. Your birthright is the responsibility for the dominion through ascension. Ascension is not just crossing beyond the veil, but becoming mature sons positioned upon their throne, seated in rest and responsibility. There are many who have crossed, but they do not know their identity, position, or full authority. The assemblies and councils of heaven await those who will accept their invitation to participate, not just observe. There are too many observers watching and waiting for others, and not enough willing to take responsibility to lay the deep foundations necessary. The reproach has been removed already. Now accept your new name, your new identity, and come and take your seated position of all heavenly governmental authority. I extend my spirit to New Zealand and call forth Zealandia to spiritually arise from the deep. And it's very interesting, after this I read an article where they were basically saying that there's a huge continent, which actually they're calling Zealandia, which is under the sea, and all New Zealand is the little tip that's above the ground, above the water. And actually, that whole continent is actually not joined to another continent. It's a new continent. And they've seen it from, you know, satellite images and images from the air. And what God is saying is that's what it's like in the spirit. There is a whole thing that can't even be seen that's going to be raised up.
That's what's shaking us now, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's, you know, the earthquakes and all those tremors are literally, basically, that continent beginning to come into alignment out of the alignment with the old. You know, so some people say, oh, these terrible things are happening. Actually, it's a sign of change. It's a sign that God is moving things. God is causing this tension to happen to raise up something new.
Kaikoura, like the land came up and they couldn't launch the boats anymore because the harbour was too shallow.
Yeah.
That was one of the...
Yeah, so that's a precedent in a sense that's happened before. Yeah. So there's new land. You know, it's not just going to be the limits that you've got now, both physically and spiritually. There's more. I call forth to those who are covered by the veils of men to step out of the darkness into the light of the truth of God's love. And yeah, having God said that to me, now I start to respond. You know, it's what happens. It's like God says stuff and I get stirred and I start to call out for things, you know, and I started to call for those who are covered by those veils of those religious systems you can't see. I call for the four angels of transformation, those angels I released here yesterday, to go before me, to prepare the way, to sound the trumpet call that the voice of the true God will be heard. I call for the winds of change to blow powerfully, to begin the new season where the true God is revealed, exploding the myths of men with love bombs of heaven. I call for the eyes of the blind to be opened by the brightness of your rising. I call for the revealing of the veils of men to deconstruct the false images of the nature and character of God. I call for the high places to come down and all the speculations and lofty things to be demolished, along with all the DIY religious idols. I call for the idolatry of the book to be exposed and the relationship with the living letters to begin. Let the true government of New Zealand come forth. Let the pioneers emerge from the explorers to take their governmental positions in the heavenlies and on the earth. I made a case. I went to the court in the court of 70 and I made a case based on the precepts, statutes and laws of God for the winds of change to blow powerfully like a cyclonic force of heaven, shaking the very foundations of the idolatrous, demonic, doctrinal systems that pervert, twist and obscure the true reality of who God is. And I went and presented a case and then God gave me a verdict. And God said this, "Son, I honor and support your case, and I call the 70 to ratify it." And this was done before they were sitting officially, because I was like, okay, I'm not waiting until the end of February. I'm going now. And he responded, "Son, I will go before you, and I will prepare the way of the Lord for the people to follow as they come out of the wilderness into their inheritance. I call for the enactments of the laws of religious freedom, jubilee, the depth of the Father's heart, and for new foundations and for restoration." And those are laws that I have got and are available on the Engage in God program for people to use. And they give you authority to make things. So I basically started calling for those things to be enacted and outworked. I call for the exoduses to begin as the sound of heaven increases in intensity. So those who are in the valley of decision in the wilderness, it's like we need an exodus. We need people to come out of the wilderness and cross over. I blow the silver trumpet to release a new sound, an urgent call to the Joshua generation to arise and come forth from under the mountains of men. Yeah. A call for the enactments of the law of religious freedom. You know, and I was going for it at this stage. I call for those exoduses to begin and let the veils of religion be removed to reveal the truth of the scandal that has distorted the very character and nature of God, who is love, as expressed within Father, Son, and Spirit, into G-O-D, the angry archer, the disciplinarian to be feared and hidden from. That's why Adam hid in the bushes, because the enemy told him that God was to be feared. And the same pattern gets expressed with the parable of the talents, where the guy with the one talent buried it and said, "You know, I heard that you were... You know, you reap where you didn't sow, and I was afraid, so I hid my talent." And because religion has presented God as that angry archer ready to loose judgment into our hearts rather than love, you know, and we need that veil to be removed. You know, we need God's people to express the true nature of God to the world. So the world will see him lifted up in us and will want to come to that light as we express what God is truly like, the love that he has for the world. I call for the forerunners to cast off their veils and their restraints and come out from beneath the coverings of men into the glorious freedom of their sonship. I call for the forerunners to receive their mandates and blueprints to lay the foundations of the new order. Let the sons of God arise into the fullness of their destinies and take their places within heaven's government. The light of my forerunner is rising from below the horizon where they have been in preparation for a new day. So a lot of people have been hidden. And God has been deliberately preparing them in places of obscurity where no one knows them. No one knows what's going on really in terms of the world. But now he's bringing them into the light. Arise, shine in the love that you've been basking in and release its radiance. So God is calling us to rest in his love. To just let his love so fill us, so produce that light in us, that we will release that radiance through our lives into the world around us. Son, let the brilliance of love's light explode over New Zealand as the love bombs of my true nature and character penetrate the veils of lies perpetrated in the name of religion. Now, I can call for this and God is saying it, but you've got to do it. It's like this is your territory. This belongs to you. You know, you can take these things and say, we have authority to do this. You know, we have authority to see love bombs explode, to explode those veils and remove people out of darkness and bring them into the light. Son, let the amazing love that you have now experienced be expressed in the light of your glorious sonship. Now, God's saying this to me, but he's saying it to you. Because you know, this is why he said it, for me to come and say this to you, to call you into sonship, to call you into that amazing love, which is going to change the whole very nature of your relationship with God himself. Now, there's a little declaration which I've made before in terms to call forth the Joshua generation. And I just want to speak it out over you. And if you want to respond to that, then in your heart, just say yes. You know, it's just like you can just say yes to this. It's like, I call your spirit to attention. Spirit, listen as a true son. I call forth your identity as the Joshua generation of the order of Melchizedek. I call forth your destiny to manifest God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth your destiny to fill the earth with God's glory. I call forth your identity and destiny and authority as lords to administrate God's rule on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as kings to have charge over the courts, heavenly courts. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as sons to stand in the assemblies and councils of God. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as sons of God to answer the groan of creation and restore it to original condition and purpose. I call forth the Joshua generation to rise up and take possession of their inheritance. And if you want to respond to that, you respond to it in your own heart. But when you respond, you're then responsible. It's like you can't say, I didn't know what it was. It's like you have to responsibility. Now, I want to finish just reading some scriptures from Romans 8 about sonship, just to open up this whole avenue of sonship and what it means. And I'm going to read it from, you know, a version that probably most of you haven't heard. But this is the original in Romans 8, 19 to 21 in ASB. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you. It's waiting for you. It's waiting for me. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So if you don't know your freedom and you don't know your identity, then you'll never be bringing creation into its freedom, because it's your glory as God's children that the creation is going to respond to. Not God's, but yours. Yours will be a reflection of God's as sons, but it will be yours that needs to be administrated. So I want to read this in another version in the Mirror Bible. It says, our lives now represent the one event every creature anticipates with held breath, standing on tiptoe, as it were, to witness the unveiling of the sons of God. Can you hear the drum roll? Mm-hmm. Stuff is starting to vibrate. Verse 20, every creature suffered abuse through Adam's fall. They were discarded like a squeezed out orange. Creation did not volunteer to fall prey to the effect of the fall. Yet within this stark setting, hope prevails. All creation knows that the glorious liberty of the sons of God sets the stage for their own release from decay.
Yeah.
Verse 22, we sense the universal agony and pain recorded in history until this moment. We ourselves feel the grief echo of their groaning within us, while we are ready to embrace the original blueprint, also of our physical stature, to the full consequence of sonship. We are all ready now to participate with the first fruits of the Spirit will bloom into a full gathering of the harvest. For what we already experience confirms our hope and continues to fuel our expectation for what we still cannot see in the final visible completeness of the harvest hope as it's fulfilled its function. He who scrutinizes the hearts understands the intentions of the Spirit. His intercession for the saints is consistent with the blueprint purpose of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's wanting to bring us back to that purpose. Meanwhile, we know that the love of God causes everything to mutually contribute to our advantage. His master plan is announced in our original identity. He predestined, pre-designed, and engineered us from the start to be jointly fashioned in the same mold and image as his son, according to the exact blueprint of his thought. We see the original and intended plan, pattern of our lives preserved in his son. He is the firstborn from the same womb that reveals our genesis. He confirms that we are the invention of God. Jesus reveals that we pre-existed in God. He defines us. He justifies us. He's glorified us. He's redeemed our innocence and restored the glory we lost in Adam. All these things point to one conclusion. God is for us. Who can prevail against us? The gift of his son is the irrefutable evidence of God's heart towards us. He held nothing in reserve, but freely and undeservedly gave everything we could ever wish to have. This is what our joint sonship is about.
Yes.
God has identified us. Who can disqualify us? His word is our origin. No one can point a finger. He declared us innocent.
Yes.
What further ground can there be possibly to be to condemn mankind? In his death, he faced our judgment. In his resurrection, he reveals our righteousness. The implications cannot be undone. He now occupies the highest seat of authority as the executive of our redemption in the throne room of God. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to give you a little picture. I'll just share this. A new revelation of identity will spring forth from the security of uniting of hearts and minds and the end of independence. An unveiling of a new reality and your true destiny hidden in darkness. As you step out of darkness of the cloud into the true light of my person, you can never be the same again. I will call you mine and you will know what it is to be accepted. From acceptance will flow inheritance and your true position within my heavenly courts and thrones. And there is a crown that God wants to put over the whole of New Zealand. He wants to establish his government, mountains of authority, benches of three, over the whole nation, that will bring back God's glory, God being in the center. He is the king. He is our father. He's the one who wants to bring you into the fullness of his sonship. And he wants to establish his crown of authority over New Zealand through those who are willing to say, here am I, send me. Because that's what he's looking for. Willing hearts, not those who think they know how to do it, because none of you do, and I don't know either. But actually, in relationship with him, he will unveil and lead and direct. And he will release the mandates, the blueprints, the revelation and the authority to establish his kingdom, to fill New Zealand and Zealandia and the whole of what this continent is all about, because I'm going to call it a continent, you know. Australia are not going to have their own thing. It's like, this is for you, because God is calling you back to your original intended purpose in God. God has always had his redemptive purpose for this people group. And that's all of you and everyone here who's his children, and that's the whole of the nation. God wants to release the fullness of his blessing, and he's calling you out of darkness into light, into the fullness of the glory of your sonship as sons of God. Amen. Mm-hmm.